Welcome home to St. Anne's. We want you to know that you're welcome to join us at 10 a.m. on Sundays. Please be sure to hit subscribe to receive our sermons. We can't wait to meet you.
So you may have noticed, in fact, I thought it was so I laughed because one of our Summit Brass members said, "Is your church always like this?" And I said, "Well, kinda." You know what I really miss about COVID church? When we were out in the parking lot, everyone brought their dogs all the time, and I loved it. But to be honest, ever since I've been here, every once in a while there's usually an animal in church. They kind of show up all the time. But I said today is a little bit different because we have a few more of them than we normally would. But today is the day that we celebrate the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi. And somebody, I don't know if you know this about churchy people, but there's always somebody who has to be the naysayer. Like, there's always some theologian who has to have something to say that's deep and ponderous. And his reflection was, you know, it's kind of inappropriate that we bless animals during the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi because he never had pets. He was homeless by choice. That is accurate. However, I think it's less about the blessing of the animals and more about learning from animals. That is really, really important to me for the Feast of St. Francis. So here at St. Anne's, we celebrate St. Francis Day the Sunday after the Feast of St. Francis. The Feast of St. Francis falls on October 4th, which was this week. But you guys were busy, and I was busy on the 4th, so we celebrate the Sunday after with the pet blessing. The reason that we do that, and I think it's important to talk about St. Francis, do you guys get really bored when I tell you history lessons? No, okay. See, there's history teacher back there. So St. Francis of Assisi was a monk eventually, Franciscan monk eventually. But he lived high Middle Ages, like 1181 to 1220-ish. For those who are not medieval historians, the Middle Ages run from 500 to 1500. I don't know if you want to do the quick math there, but that's 1,000 years. There's a long stretch of time there. So when we talk about the Middle Ages, we break it up. We talk about the early Middle Ages, we talk about the high Middle Ages, and then we move into closer to the Renaissance. So St. Francis, or Francis, as he is later called, is in that high Middle Ages period. Now, what is important about the high Middle Ages is as the high Middle Ages are occurring, and slowly as we move into the Renaissance, we have a massive influx of money. Massive, massive. So Italy, Spain, that entire area, they've figured out trade. They figured out how to trade things from different lands. So they've figured out the trade routes and some of those things. That's a big deal. That's a really, really big deal. And if you are a merchant and you can manage those trade routes and you can get things to really, really rich people in Italy, you got yourself some money. You got yourself a cash cow. That's also how we spread the bubonic plague, but let's talk about that later. Fleas on rats, whatever. Anyway, there's a song. It's really funny. Someday I'll teach you the bubonic plague song. Not today. Today, I have a degree in this. Did you know that? Yeah. So this is my moment to shine. I love it. Okay. I know. I was teaching lessons in my classrooms the day that the queen passed away. And so I got to, like, explain all of the royal family. That's all they wanted to know, right? They wanted to know. And I was like, it is my time. It is my time. I'm here for you. Anyway. So Francis's father is a merchant at this time, extremely wealthy, very, very wealthy. He's trading in cloth and fabrics, which I don't know about back then, but like now we really like nice clothes, and they felt the same way. And when you've got people like the Medicis and like really, really rich people, they like to buy nice fabrics. They're like, yeah, anyway. I was going to make a joke about nice fabrics, but I won't. Okay, anyway, he is the son, so he should be going into his father's business. His very successful and wonderful father, who is fantastic because he's really, really rich, and he's really, really good at doing what he does. You can imagine daddy's feelings when his son is like, no, not interested. I'm sorry, you're not interested in this incredible empire that I've created for you? You're not interested in all the wealth and no, you've all had that kid, right? You know that ungrateful kid. That's Francis. Francis is that ungrateful kid. So he rejects that. In fact, to the degree that, and kids don't do this when you are in rebellious mode against your parents, but what Francis does is he literally strips himself naked in the middle of the town of all the rich, fabulous fabrics. Yeah, kids don't do that when you're feeling rebellious. But he does it. Francis has some quirks, okay? I'm just going to preface that now. He's my favorite saint by, like, a lot. I made my mom make a costume of him so I could dress up as him when I was in Roman Catholic schools. Yeah, love Francis. Francis is my jam. Quirky little dude. Okay, so anyway, he does this, rejects his father. He decides, I'm going to be homeless. So it's true. He doesn't have pets. He doesn't. But what's important here and why he is so very, very important, and especially in our time, is because Francis sees the hypocrisy in the world around him. He sees it, and he can name it. And he can name it so well that he can reject it. And that's where you and I struggle. And that's why Francis is so important for us today. Because Francis can see the hypocrisy and can manage to reject it. So one of the big thing about Francis and why we celebrate with pet blessings and animals and all that stuff is because Francis's big thing was the unity of creation and how interconnected it all is. And we think Unity Village just figured it out in the last 100 years, right? Like, oh, God is part of creation. No! Turns out Christianity has been doing this a long time. Okay, we have understood, and there have been theologians and folks in the church who have long understood Celtic faith is one that I always turn to, about the interconnectedness of God's creation. Look at that, you got a little dress, I love it. So that's what I want us to hear, because that's what we have to be reminded again, because we as humans like to think that we're different, that we're separate, that we're other, and that we are in charge of creation. The world has been given to us as our dominion, and we are called to, I don't know, destroy it. That seems to be what we're doing. But Francis understood, and even sometimes, and I think this is what the theologian I told you who was being ponderous, in my opening mockeries of ponderous theologians who have too much time on their hands. I mean, you could, like, get out on the streets and, like, help people, or you could tell us how we're doing it wrong, whatever. We like to think that we own creation. We own our pets, right? And I think that is the reference that the theologian was trying to make, is that we have this sense that we are doing for others, that we are caring for others. When we're being our good liberal selves, right, and we're trying to be good environmentalists, we're doing it for the planet. I adopted my animals to save them. All my animals are adopted, right? I'm doing it to help them. But what Francis understood and what you and I have to be reminded of again and again is that it's not like that. We're not up here and God's creation is down here and we're benefiting it. But it's all one. It's all interconnected. In the same ways, and I'm going to tell you the story of my May. Many of you know the story of my May. She thinks I'm cool. At least somebody does. My dog thinks I'm great. Okay, so I'm going to tell you the story of May and why this matters. Because you would think that I saved my dog, right? So May comes from the urban core. She's from Chain of Hope, and their focus is urban core. And supporting animals in the urban core. And so she is a dog from the urban core of Kansas City. And she was clearly raised to be, if you've seen her, she's half German Shepherd, quarter Lab, and a quarter Mastiff. She's kind of terrifying, unless you're mean, in which case you just, like, cuddle her, right? Yeah, she's kind of a fat dog. She's really good at holding the couch down, just in case we need someone to hold the couch down. And so we adopted May. So like I said, this dog has seen massive trauma. And if you want to study in PTSD and trauma and how true it is, I can tell you the things, the bizarre things that trigger this dog. Like smoke triggers this dog. So I asked my husband, I was like, hey, can you go grab that tank top for me? I wear a tank top all the time. This dog has seen me in a tank top all the time. That's what I live in my house in, right? So he goes and he grabs one. He happens to grab a white tank top. The dog flips out. Absolutely flips out. Starts body blocking me, is barking and jumping, like flips out. That is trauma, my friends. So this dog has seen extreme trauma. So I saved my dog, right? I adopted my dog. Chain of Hope saved her, and I came and I gave her this beautiful Midwestern suburban life. I saved my dog. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. We adopted May at the height of COVID. My father had passed away. Oh, God, I'm going to cry. Are you guys sick of me crying in church yet? Oh, my God. Okay. So my father passes away just as we know that COVID is coming, but it hasn't really hit yet. Jesus was like, John, you should get out. This is not going to go well for you. So my dad dies very suddenly. I resign from my job in Harrisonville because, sweet baby Jesus, there were things going on. I was like, I can't do this with my life. Not doing this. So I resign. COVID hits. The world shuts down. Oh, and my dad's dog is just like, forget this. So we have to put his dog down. So I've got to put his dog down. This is literally like months after my dad dies. His dog is like, yeah, I'm going to be with John. So his dog dies. And then, like, the world is crazy. And my two old dogs are, like, quickly going, yeah, we're done. They're like this. And I say to Erica, I was like, I can't. Like, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. And so he finally is like, fine. He finally gives up and he lets me adopt a dog. So I get my COVID puppy, which is my May. Who do you think saved who? Now, if you are on Facebook with me at all, you know I am obsessed with this dog. I love this. I mean, I love all animals, let's be real. But this dog is my world. Who saved who? I want us to think differently about the world's creation. We are part of. We're not separate, doing things to it, either helping it or destroying it. We are part of it. And when we are part of that creation, it looks different. We see ourselves differently. We are part of creation. We're just as animal as anything else. And that world creation out there feeds us and hurts us in the same way it does anything else. This is not about us blessing our pets. This is about us celebrating how they bless us. Remember, sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. I'm going to say that again because it's really, really important. Sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. It is not something we do. It is us marking, us noticing what God has already done. When I marry people, God already did that. When we baptize and welcome into the Christian family, God already did that. When we take a time today to celebrate and bless our animals, God already did that. God already connected us together. All that has already happened. This is us taking a minute to say, I see what you did there. I see what you did there, and I celebrate it. That is what we're doing in church every single time. I'm not doing magic around that table. We're taking a brief moment out of our week to say, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing, and I celebrate it. This is not a time where I'm going to do magic on your dog or your cat or, God help us, my daughter's lizard. Folks, I'm a mammal mom. I got me a lizard, whatever. This is a moment when we say, God has connected us, and we celebrate that. So, do you think that's an appropriate way to celebrate Francis? Theologians. Too much time. They got too much time.
We want you to know that you're welcome to join us at 10 a.m. on Sundays. Please be sure to hit subscribe to receive our sermons. We can't wait to meet you.